Okay, today's daf is daf kaf aleph. We're gonna start from kaf amud bet toward the bottom part, but kind of in the middle. We had seen all these attempts yesterday to bring Tanaitic source material to figure out zen hanev zelo chaser. What if somebody benefits and the other person doesn't lose anything from it? Do they have to pay sachar if you're living in somebody's empty house? And we talked about at the end of class that the Tanaim didn't really deal with it in the terminology that the Amoraim did. They gave it a term, whereas that Tanaim generally deal with cases. They're not dealing with rules, general rules. Once in a while, the Mishnah will say Zeh HaKlal, but generally they give us cases. Whereas the idea of the Gemara is they want to put things into categories, and then we can learn from those categories. Okay, so we're in the middle of discussing this issue. We tried to bring proofs. We didn't succeed. Okay, we're starting from the word Shalchu HaBei Rabbi Ami, about 15 lines from the bottom. Shalchu HaBei Rabbi Ami, they sent the question to Rabbi Ami. Amar, b'chima asalo u'mach esro. What did the guy who sat in his house do to him? And what did he take away from him? U'mah yiziko. In other words, and what did he, you know, he didn't damage him at all, so maybe he shouldn't be responsible. So he's kind of questioning. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar, nityashev b'davar. He said, I need to think about it. Hada shochua kameh to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Okay, so they sent it again to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Amar, in other words, he said, I'll get back to you. And, you know, as what happens with many people, oh, you know, I do this all the time. Oh, you know, you forget. You never get back to them. But clearly here, he didn't forget what happened. Amar, kule ha shochuli va'azle, ilo eshkecha batama, lo shalachnalu. But you're asking me again what you think about. If I would have found a reason and an answer, I would have gotten back to you. In other words, he struggled with this and he didn't really know how to answer it. Itmar, here's another statement said about this. Rav Kahana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, here we're going to have some piskei halacha about it. Eino tzarich la'alot lo sachar. Okay, Rav Kahana passes down, remember this, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. You don't have to pay him rent because you didn't make him lose anything. Rabbi Abahu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. But now comes Rabbi Abahu and he says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, tzarich la'alot lo sachar. So Amar Papa, or Papa comes in and says, Had Rabbi Abahu lab beferush itmar ela michlale itmar. When Rabbi Abahu said that Rabbi Yochanan said this, he didn't say it because Rabbi Yochanan actually said it. He inferred it from some ma'aseh that happened. Now, sometimes we say this, and the point is, well, we don't really know what he said, but it's possible he said it. And sometimes we say it, like in this case, where we're going to say he clearly misunderstood what Rabbi Yochanan meant. Okay? So now we're going to see where he inferred. We're not going to get what was the case where he inferred from Rabbi Yochanan that you have to pay him rent, and where, in fact, he was wrong. Ditznan. Okay, here's a mission. Natal Evan o korash shel hekdesh, hare ze lo ma'al. If you take, now the assumption of this, if you take an Evan, a rock, or a beam that was designated for hekdesh, you're not over on Me'ila. What's Me'ila? Using hekdesh for whole purposes. So what do you mean you're not chayv in Me'ila? So the Gemara over there in the Mishnah in Me'ila says, clearly we're talking about the gizbar. Okay, the guy who, all the hekdesh stuff goes into his property. So in that case, for him, if he uses it within his property, he's not chayv in Me'ila. Because in order to be chayv in Me'ila, you have to switch rishuyot, which we're going to see. You have to kind of take it and use it for something else, or get actual benefit from it. So we're going to see. So if you take this Evan or Korav Hekdesh, and you're the treasurer of the Beit HaMikdash, so you're not chayv Me'ila. But nitzana l'chaveiro, if you give it to a friend, right? Let's say you give it to a friend to use, so hu ma'al v'chaveiro lo ma'al. You are chayv Me'ila, the gizbar, because you change the reshut into someone else's reshut. In doing so, what happens? The object turns into chulin. You now have to pay the value of the object plus the chomesh. And the friend is not chayv Me'ila because you already turned it into chulin. So he's not chayv in anything. Bina'a l'toch beito. Let's say he uses it to build his house. Hareze lo ma'al ad shiador tachteh shavapruta. You're not chayv Me'ila because, again, he didn't switch reshuyot, okay? But when is he chayv Me'ila? If he lives underneath that, right, that piece kind of closed off his roof, let's say, and you lived underneath it, and you got the value for of a shavapruta. In other words, you live long enough, right? Like, let's say 3 minutes is worth a shavapruta of living in a house, right? So as soon as you used it and got hana'ah, then you're chayav. But you're not chayav because you didn't switch reshuyot. So you're only chayav once you get hana. The Amar Shmuel, you're trying to figure out where is this going, right? Remember what we were here for. We were here to say, Zen ha-nevah zeh lo chaser. So let's see. The Amar Shmuel, v'hu shehinicha al pi aruba. Shmuel says this is only if you put it in the skylight. Let's say you have something in the roof and you just place the rock to block off an opening. Okay? But if you were to actually put it as part of the binyan and, you know, maybe chisel it down or change the shape a little bit, then you'd already be chayav without needing to live underneath it, v'shavet pruta. Okay? In other words, in a case where you just place it, in which case you can also remove it, right? Then there's no me'ila until you actually get benefit. But if you changed it or you cemented it in that it couldn't come out, then it would be an issue immediately. So now, v'yativ Rabbi Abau kameh to Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Abau now sits in front of Rabbi Yochanan. V'ka'amar mishmei de Shmuel, and now he says in the name of Shmuel, from Shmuel, what can we derive? Zot omeret, hadar b'chatzar chavero shelo midato, sarich lahalo lo sachar. What does he say here? Since you have to live underneath there, right? And what's the case? It's shelo midato. In other words, you're using the hekdesh without asking permission, right? And now what do we say? Once you live there, shavah pruta, you're chayav, right? So what do you see here? You have to pay the rent, basically, because you're paying for the use of this thing that you're using. It's zeneh neve zelo chaser, because you didn't change the form of the rock. It's exactly as it was. You can easily take it out and give it to the Beit HaMikdash tomorrow, right? But what happens if you live underneath it and you get benefit from it, even though it's shalom midat, the Beit HaMikdash that you took it, right? So here's your classic case. You're basically using something of someone else's without asking permission, and if you're nehene, you have to pay. So, perfect proof, maybe. So now, what happens? Rabbi Abahu says, it's not Rabbi Yochanan. So what does Rabbi Yochanan do? V'shatakle. Okay? He doesn't say anything. We've seen this before. When a rabbi doesn't react, it can mean one of two things. Yes, right? Either it could mean, oh, I totally agree with you, which is what Rabbi Abahu thought, or it can mean, what a preposterous thing that you're saying. I'm not even going to respond to it. Okay, so obviously now the Gemara is going to say, right? Iu savar mi deshatik modele. He thought Rabbi Abahu that because he was quiet, he agreed with him, and therefore Rabbi Abahu said the name Rabbi Yochanan. Hadar b'chatzar chavero shalom idato. Right, or zena nevzelo chaser. Right, you are eno tzarich la'alot lo. Tzarich la'alot lo sachar. But below he, but we say no, that's not the case. Ishguche lo eshkachbe. He just didn't pay him attention. Kidu Rabba, why? What did Rabbi Yochanan hold? Da amar Rabba. Since God always knows what's going on, therefore hekdesh shalom midat is not considered shalom midat. Okay, therefore this isn't a case of your dar b'chatzar chavero shalom midato. Clearly, God knows that you're using his hekdesh, and therefore you're chayav. Okay, so he is like a hedyot midat, and therefore you can't make a comparison between the cases. It's interesting to make this comparison, because generally, when we thought it's shalom midat, what was the issue? That if it's midato, and he doesn't say anything, then what's the point? He is mochel, right? He doesn't care. But now what do you see? So first of all, we're going to see another case where the mechila, if we want to say the guy is mochel, right, that we don't necessarily, we can't always say that that's the case, okay? We can't say that that's the motivating factor only, and here's a good proof of it, because God obviously can't be mochel. He can't tell you, oh, you should pay the rent, right? And because he didn't say it. So anyway, it's a bit of a strange use of the dot, because the dot usually is to say, oh, well, if it's midat and he doesn't say anything, well, then we know you're patur. In this case, obviously, it's midat and he has to pay. So it's different from, right, the other dot. If it's midat, no, that midat, you have, no, right, midat, you don't have to pay unless he says, and here it's midat and you have to pay, so it's also a little common. Why it's like that? I guess because God can't tell you. Okay. Shalach le Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda le Mary Bar Mar. Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda sends a question to Mary Bar Mar. Ba mine me Rav Huna, Go ask Rav Huna, he says to him. Okay, he sends Mary Barmar to ask Rav Huna. Okay, our question. Everyone is struggling with this question. What's obviously going to happen here? Okay, by the time he goes to ask Rav Huna his question, Rav Huna is no longer alive. Amar le Rabba bar Rav Huna, but Rabba bar Rav Huna, his son, says, Hachi amar Abba Mary Mishmei de Rav. A note tzarich la'alot lo sachar. This is what my father said. It's going to say two things. Number one, you do not have to pay rent. V'hasocher bayit miruven ma'ale sachar l'shimon. What could this possibly mean? If you rent a house from Reuven and it turns out the house was Shimon's, then who do you pay rent to? Shimon, not to Reuven. So now they say, Shimon, oh, so, sorry, the Gemara explains this. First they say, Shimon ma'avidate, what's Shimon doing there? What does it mean? You rent a house from Reuven, you pay Shimon? So, hachika, mar nimtza habayit shel Shimon ma'alelo sachar. So now the Gemara is going to ask, tarte? This doesn't make any sense. If you're sochir by it, Miruvain, and Ruvain says, this is my house, and Shimon doesn't say anything, then why are you paying rent to Shimon? It's exactly the case of Hadar b'chatzar chavero shalom midato enot tzarich la'alot lo sachar, right? According to Rav Huna, according to Rav, you don't need to pay him rent. So why would you need to pay Shimon rent if Ruvain rented it out to you? It's as if Ruvain kind of took over Shimon's property without Shimon knowing. The rent shouldn't have to go to Shimon. So now what do they answer? These are two different cases. The circumstances of the cases are different. Ha de kaime le'igra, v'ha de lo kaime le'igra. In other words, in the first case, when he said Adar b'chatzar chavero shalomi da'ato, it was talking about a case where the guy wasn't normally renting out the house. And therefore, you don't have to pay him rent. But in the Reuven and Shimon case, it was a case where Shimon was trying to rent out his house. And comes along Reuven and he rents it out to somebody else. So since Shimon was trying to rent out the house, what do we say? You have to pay Shimon. Okay? Now we're going to see the exact same thing said, somebody else passed down in the name of Rav. Itmar nami, amar Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, amar Rav. Va'amrila, amar Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, amar Rav Huna. Okay, some people say he passed down the name of Rav, and some people say he passed down the name of Rav Huna, who's the one we just saw. Right? Either which way, we just saw it also passed down the name of Rav. Hadar b'chatzar chavero shalom idato, eino tzarich la'alot lo sachar. Same exact thing. And here the case can be mildly different, but basically the same idea. V'hasocher bayit mibnei ha'ir. If you rent a house from the, let's say from the iria, you know, from the municipality, ma'ale sachar lebali. Okay, if the municipality rents you out a house and then it turns out, right, we're going to see in a second, right, and you have to pay the owners. So bali ma'avidatayu, what do the balim have to do here? What's their place here? Oh, hachi kamar, this is what it meant, just like the last case. Nimtzu'u lo bali ma'alim lam sachar, right, the iria rents out a house, thinking that nobody owns it, a guy comes along and says, hey, here's my tabu, I own this house. Then you pay the guy who says he owns the house. So, again, the Gemara is going to question, Tarte, what do you mean? How could you say the same thing? Say the same thing and it's opposite. If you say, Eino tzarich la'alot lo sachar, in here, you do have to pay him the money. So now they say, ha kaima le'igra v'ha delo kaima le'igra, the same thing. In the case where the Uriah took it over and was renting it out, it was a case where the owner himself was also trying to rent it out. Okay, how they didn't realize, right, that was the municipality renting out the house at the same time he was. Maybe you could just say communication wasn't as good as it is these days, right? And they didn't know that there was this guy also trying to rent out his house. Whereas the other case, when we say, Adar b'chatzar chavero shalom midato, you know, tzarich la'alot lo sachar, that's in a case where, that's in a case where he doesn't have to, right, he wasn't planning to rent it out, and that's why you don't have to give him the money. Amarav Schora, Amarav Huna, Amarav, Hadar b'chatzar chavero, ain't, okay, so before we start with this, I just want to summarize. So right now, we've seen passed down the name of Rav, you don't have to pay him rent. Mainly until now, we've been discussing what's the reason. Because Zelo Chaser, you didn't make him lose anything. He wasn't planning to rent it out. You were just using this empty space. Now we're going to see, I would call that a lack of reason, right? In other words, there's no reason to pay him. Now we're going to dafka see, not only is there no reason to pay him, but you're actually doing the guy a favor by living in his house. Okay?
Do you know whether they address wear and tear? Like, do you have to pay for damage to the
house? Right. So we're going to see that also.
But that would be that is a low cost.
Right. So, no, sorry. Wear and tear we saw. Wear and tear we saw yesterday. That was where we ended with the blackened walls.
Right.
There's this issue of wear and tear. And based on that, also what we saw yesterday was even if you did a mild amount of damage, you have to pay for the entire rent. And the assumption is once there's wear and tear, then you're chayav for, then for sure you're chayav. Mm-hmm. But the cases they're talking about is where there's no wear and tear. Now, how you can have, you're staying in a space without wear and tear, it depends. It depends on the situation. Are you just using the space? Maybe there was no house there and you just pitch your tent there. And then you're not doing anything to the property. You know, the property is the land and you're just building a house on it. We'll see soon, we're going to get to a case where they build on this garbage heap of the Yitomim, you know, where obviously they're not taking away anything from what belonged to the Yitomim. It's just a garbage dump. Okay, so now we're going to see some positive reasons. Two different ones, and then we're going to say what's the nafka mina between the two. Amarav schora, amarav huna, amarav. Hadar b'chatzar chaviro shalom idato, ein sarich la'alot lo sachar, mishum shene'emar, u'shi'iya yukat shar. Okay, this is a pasuk from Yeshayahu. Okay, it starts off, it's important to read the beginning. Nish'ar ba'ir shama, if it's left shmama, desolate, u'shi'iya yukat shar. Now, Shia, they explain, something the Freshman explained, Rashi explains, it's a shade, it's a demon. And the demon Shia is going to come and destroy your house. This is exactly what we all call, right? It's a haunted house. Okay, right? These houses that are abandoned, that people say, oh, there's ghosts in them. It's exactly what the Gemara is saying here. And therefore, if you live in this house, you're preventing the demons from living there. Okay? There's another one there. There's another one, though, right on the line. You could take it. Okay. Amar Mar Rav Ashi. L'didi chazele u'minagach beito kitova. And Mar Rav Ashi comes to tell you, I saw that demon, okay? I saw him, and he attacks like an ox. First of all, interesting that we're in the middle of Baba Kama with all the ox. Right? He attacks like an ox. Okay, he's crazy. Rav Yosef Amar, here's our second answer. Beit hamiyat v'yativ. You're better off having your house be settled because the person will keep up your house, right? If a pipe bursts, you know, you won't know and it'll damage your house. If someone's living in your house, it protects it. It protects it from robbers. It protects it from all sorts of things, right? And someone will keep up the maintenance on your house. And therefore, it's opposed to the opposite of what Ruth was saying about the wear and tear. They're saying it's not a positive thing to have someone living in your uninhabited house. Okay. My benai, what's the nafka mina between them? If you use it to store your items, then the assumption here is, I'm not sure if there's, I feel like this could probably go either way, but I think the assumption is that once you have that, no, I guess it can't really go either way, then the shade is not going to be there because it's not empty. It's got stuff in it, but no one will be there to maintain it. Okay? Next case. Here we get to the heap of the Yitomim. Hahu gavra debana apanda akil kalta diyatme. He built a palace on the garbage dump of the Yitomim, right? You see the contrast here. They're clearly trying to say, right, this palace versus the garbage dump, this rich guy versus the poor Yitomim. He builds this house, this gigantic mansion on the garbage pile of the Yitomim. Agve Rav Nachman la'apande mine. Rav Nachman says, give me your palace until you basically pay the Yitomim the rent for the space that you're using. Lema kasav Rav Nachman, adar b'chatzar chaviro, shalom idato, tzarich la'alot lo sachar. It sounds like, right, should we say that Rav Nachman held that if he, right, the assumption is the Yitomim don't know, he's living in their house, in their space, basically, and you have to pay them rent. So what are the answer? Right, the assumption here is clearly the Yitomim weren't renting it out, but now we're going to see that they actually were. Hahu meikara karmanai havu dairebe. There were these people called the Karmanaim. Okay, that's what some of the Mepharshim say. They were like, Rashi says they were a nation. Okay, maybe they were like a primitive type, maybe Bedouin type people who were living on this garbage dump of the Yitomim. And they were paying a very small amount. V'yave liat me davar mu'at. They were paying very low rent to basically rent the space of this garbage dump. And therefore, Amarle, Rav Nachman said to him, Zil paisinhu liyatme, right? Go and work out financially with the Yitomim that you'll pay them at least what the other guy was paying. Velo eshkach. And the guy just ignored him. He didn't care. It was this rich guy who said, oh, you know, I'm not paying any money for a garbage dump. A rich, miserly guy. And therefore, Agbe Rav Nachman la'apan de mine. And then Rav Nachman said, well, give me your mansion until you pay them the proper money. Okay? So here, one of the impression brings up that clearly you see here that it's not just an inyan of mechila, that they could have been mochel, because there's no mechila by yatomim. It doesn't exist. So the question is, you know, why you wouldn't have to pay. Does it have to do with mechila or not? Anyway, it's a side issue. We're not going to deal with it now. Okay, Ketzad Mishalemet Mashin Ehenet. Okay, we have to flip back to the Mishnah for a minute. Okay, on yesterday's daf, what does it say? We saw that sometimes you pay, right? A chal v'rashut arabim patur, v'im nehenet mishalemet mashin nehenet. Remember, but if, even if it's a rashut arabim, if you eat something and then the animal no longer needs to eat his meal, and the owner saved on that, then you have to pay the hana'a, but not the damages. Not how much you damage, but how much you no longer need to write based on the food value. Ketzad. So then the Gemara says, how does this work? Ketzad mishalemet mashenehenet. So now it tells you, achla mitoch harechava mishalemet mashenehenet. Mitzidei harechava mishalemet mashizika. And now the Mishnah starts to distinguish between the rechava and the tzidei harechava. Right? Here's the main drag. And then there's like these side areas, these side pockets within the rechava. Okay, so now we're going to see that if he ate on the rechava, then it's masha nehenet, right? Just what the owner now doesn't need to feed the animal for the next meal. Okay, and then we had a machloket. Is it, do you measure it in tevin or do you measure it in seori? But if he does it on the side areas, then it's already masha yizika. Whatever it is he ate, then he has to pay damages. And it has nothing to do with the hana'a that he gained. So now we're going to talk mainly right now about the Mashi Zika B'tzidei Rechava. Okay, that's why you had to see this, because the line they quoted was about the Mashi Nehenet. But we want to focus on when you have to pay Mashi Zika and the Tzidei Rechava. Kate Amarav, Ubi Mechazeret. When do you have to pay in the Tzidei Rechava? Right? I'm sorry. Ubi Mechazeret. And, right. When do you have to pay the Tzidei Rechava, when you pay Mashi Zika? So he says, Bimechazeret. It means if the animal is in the Rechava, but he turns his neck and he eats, he moves over and he eats into what's on the side. Ushmuel Amar, Afilu Mechazeret Nami Patur. Shmuel says, no, if the animal is walking and he moves his neck to the side and he eats what's in Tzidei Rechava, he's Patur. So now we have to obviously ask, according to Shmuel, Ulu Shmuel, if the Mishnah said he's chayevet b'tzidei rechava, so if he's not even chayav, if he turns his neck, well then in which case is he going to be chayav? Ulu Shmuel, heyachim ishkacha la demechayev. In other words, the Mishnah said you're chayav mashizika. So if you're not chayav in tzidei rechava, not if you walk regular and not if you turn your neck, well then how are you going to be chayav? So what do they answer? Kigon deshabakte l'rechava va'azla v'kama b'tzidei rechava. Okay, so now what we have is this. According to Rav, let's start with Shmuel. So Shmuel says, if the animal is walking in the Rechava, he is patur no matter what. He's patur, again, he's chayav maybe masha nehenet, if there is hana'a. But if he's walking in the Rechava, and he moves his neck into the tzidei Rechava, he's patur because the animal's allowed to be in the Rechava. But when is he going to be chayav? Only if the animal physically walks into the tzidei rechava. If the animal ends up over here and he eats in the tzidei rechava, then he's chayav. But if he's walking in the rechava and turns his neck into the tzidei rechava, he's patur.
Basically, if he has to go to any effort.
I think the point is that the animal's allowed to be in the rechava. So once he's allowed to be there, we don't care where he eats from.
If he takes the steps to do something to move away, it's not just turning his head, which is as he goes.
I think the issue is that he's allowed. I think it's if he's allowed to be there. So since he's allowed to be in the rechava, whatever damage he does, he's allowed to do. But as soon as he moves into a rishut where he's not allowed to be, it's considered, remember, the tzidei rechava, we say, is like the rishut anizak. So once he goes into the rishut anizak, then he's already going to be responsible. Whereas Rav says, no, if he damages something in Rishut HaNizak, I don't care where his body is. If he moves his neck and he leans over and he eats there, that's damage. We're going to make him responsible.
I was going to say that it's trying to prevent
animal owners from just letting the animals loose? Basically, right. The intention here is...
Well, the two, it works in the flip. In other words, what Rav is saying is, you got to watch your animal and make sure he doesn't damage things that don't belong. Yeah, that don't belong. Remember, we always said, there were two foci. One was, we're going to focus on the person who left it. And it's here, the person leaves it in Rashid Arabim, well... What do you expect? But this person left it in Rashid Yachid. So, therefore he assumed it wasn't going to get eaten. But on the other hand, there's the flip, which is we saw yesterday, which is maybe the owners aren't supposed to be... The owner can let his animals walk in Rashid Arabim. How much do you have to watch your animal like a hawk and make sure every single action he does, the injury in his neck, he didn't... Your animal's allowed to walk in Rashid Arabim. He's allowed to walk in Rashid Arabim. So... That's really the flip, is it because the animal's allowed to be there and therefore it's okay? Or is it that the person who left his stuff shouldn't have left it there? And if he left it in a place where it was okay to leave, well then the animal should be responsible.
If you're talking about a marketplace, then the shop owners want to encourage the people to get off their animals and to not pay attention to them for a few minutes and to shop.
Ah, yeah.
So that...
Right. So that's interesting.
Has to
I like that idea,
up
which
with
is
responsibility.
Right.
Either they should have a parking lot,
parking lot for animals with a bike lot.
If it was a throughway, then there wouldn't be wares on the side, and that's something that everybody has a right to walk through. But here, there's conditions.
Right. What I like what you're saying, Naomi, that basically the store owner wants the people to let go of their animals and focus on buying things.
But there
there's also damage that could come.
But there were these. Bars or something.
Bars that you could put animals, right.
And then the other
although they use those in the shuk. I know they use them in the Beit HaMikdash. They had those neck holds.
They had, I don't know if it was as elaborate as that, but they had like a loop that you could tie the leash or whatever. But then the other thing is, I'm assuming that these are people who don't have like herds of cattle like they have.
Right, I assume they're coming with a few animals to the shuk.
Right,
to me, I think about taking kids in the shuk. Right, you're thinking of the same thing, right? In other words, how much do you have to watch this kid's touching that, this kid's touching that?
Exactly.
We're not expected to watch our kids every second of the day, or maybe we are.
Game rooms in the mall, whatever.
Right, game rooms in the mall, so that the parents can go shopping and leave the kids.
The truth is, the owner's always going to. We see, in any of the shuks, the owners will put stuff, not just because kids might touch, but adults also take things. I mean, they do. There is a certain wear and tear assumed if you put
right, you assume that people will break things.
It's a trade-off for bringing people in and letting them see what you have.
Right, you go to the pizzeria and, everybody eats some of the nuts there, And, right, is that allowed? Is it not? Okay, so now we're going to have a whole bunch of different issues about this mechazeret. So the first way we're going to read this, we're going to have a bunch of different readings, is the Rav says this case of Mashi Zika is when the animal's walking in the rechava and sticks his neck in, then he's chayav. And Shmuel says, no, he's only chayav if he's actually walking in Tzidei Rechava. That's one reading. Now we're going to read the same thing, but it was taught in a different way. Okay, Ika lamatne lahashmata ba'apei nafshe. Some people said that this machloket wasn't relating to the Mishnah specifically. It was a general machloket that worked like this. Mechazeret, Rav Amar Chayevet, Shmuel Amar Ptura. In other words, they talked about if an animal turns his neck to the Tzidei Rechava, so Rav says you're Chayav, Shmuel says you're Ptur. And then they asked, well, the Shmuel, Meshalem HaMashizik, Eicha Mishkachala. So then how could you have a case like our Mishnah mentions where you're Chayav? So they say, okay, it's the exact same thing. It's just a matter of, did they say our Mishnah is only talking about this, or did they kind of just say it as a general thing, and then they kind of connected it with our Mishnah? Okay, now we're going to have a question on Rav's opinion, and then later we're going to have a different reading of this machloket entirely. Mati Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak questions Rav from this source. Mipetach HaChanuf, from our Mishnah, he's going to question. What's the case of Meshalemet Mashen Enet of the opening, right? If you put it in front of the Chanut, Pshita b'mechazeret, right? Clearly, what's the case here of Petach HaChanut? Clearly, the animal turns his neck to the Petach HaChanut and eats. So why are you Chayav Mashen Enet? If Rav says you're Chayav b'mechazeret, right? You're in the Rashid Arabim, remember, he was the one who said, you're in Rashid Arabim, you turn your neck, you're Chayav. So how could you say, right, it must be, the assumption is, if he's going to the Petach Chanut, it's just like the Tzidei Rechava, right? It's like, it's a little bit in, and the animal eats from there while he's in the Rechava. So why would you be only Chayav Masha and Nehenet? You should be, according to Rav, Chayav Masha Yizika. So what do they answer? Wait, Beka'amar Mashanenet. So what do we assume? Therefore, since it says in the Mishnah Mashanenet, Mashanenet in Mashizika lo, right? You're only Chaya Mashanenet, you're not Chaya Mashizika. So now he asks this question, but who motiv la bu mefarva? He asks the question, he is also going to answer it. Dekaima b'keren zavit. Okay, it's talking about a case where the storefront was in a corner. Now, look in the picture of Rashi, okay? Although there's a bit, I'll give you, there's a better picture in the Schottenstein. Okay, you're here in this rechava. Oh, sorry, you're in the rechava. It's a big mavoi. It's wide space, and you're walking through the alley of this wide space, and then the space narrows. And where the space narrows, the petach hachanut is now in the rechava, but the rechava got very narrow all of a sudden. So whereas normally you're walking in the rechava, the petach hachanut is off to the side. Now since the whole alleyway narrowed, the petach hachanut is right in front of you. And the animal had no choice but to walk there, in which case we're going to say, in that case, it's the owner's it's the owner of the item's responsibility, not the owner of the animal, not the animal's owner. Okay, and therefore he's only chaya mashananet and not mashizika. Okay, but here's another whole reading now. Ika de amre, mechazeret kule amalo pligi. Their argument is actually not about mechazeret, de chayevet. Everybody agrees that you're chayav if you turn your neck and go eat and see der chava. Ki pligi b'maktem makomi reshuto l'reshut harabim. Okay, let's explain what this case is. I live, okay, here's reshut harabim, okay, here's my house. Okay, my chatzer, let's say. And then let's assume that on the other side of my house is another Rishud HaRabim. Okay, so here's a Rishud HaRabim, and here's a Rishud HaRabim. Now, people want to get to the other Rishud HaRabim often. So I'm going to decide to be a nice guy, and what am I going to do? I'm going to take part of my backyard, and I'm going to say to people, hey, you know what? You can walk through my backyard. I'm going to make this area a public thoroughfare, and this area now, we're going to call a Rishud HaRabim, but it was originally on my property. Okay, so now the question is going to be, well, does this turn my property into a Rishud HaRabim to then say that if I left fruit here, it's my property, basically, it's my backyard, but I'm allowing people to walk through it, right? There's a house across the street that's like that, right, where you can get through to the park, and they have a gate, and they lock it, but, you know, there's some, right, there's all sorts of, right, you can get from Bentov to a Haram that way and go through their house. So if they did that, and they left fruits there, and someone eats it, so now you'll say, well, it's shame, but Rishud HaRabim, it's patur.
Is that Rishud HaRabim?
Yafeh. So now that's going to be the question. Do we view this as Rishud HaRabim, because I said it's a public thoroughfare and people can walk through? Or do we say, no, it's a Rishud HaRabim, but it's in my property, and I didn't mean that you could go, I still want to leave my stuff there and be respectful of my property. So that's what they're going to say the debate is. Okay, so some people say that that's the machloket. V'hachi itmar, amarav. Lo shanu ela mechazeret. Okay, our Mishnah was talking about mechazeret, that you're chayav, right? That's what we said. Aval maktzem makomi rishutol rishut harabim ptura. But if you set aside a place in your property and you turn it into rishut harabim, then the owner of the animal is patur because you turned your house into rishut harabim. Ushmuel amar afilu maktzem makomi rishutol rishut harabim chayevet. He says, no, just because you turned it into rishut harabim, it's still your property or was your property. And you certainly didn't do it in order to say, well, now you can damage all my stuff. Okay? Like the guy was being a nice guy. Now you're going to make him lose out. And now they're going to say, well, if this is the case, okay, now this is really a question. I'll explain to you in a minute why it's a question. Lema bibor bereshuto kamiflage? Are we going to say that they're arguing about a case which we know is a machloket tana'im? Now, generally, a mora'im wouldn't have the exact same machloket as tana'im, and if they did, they would connect it to the machloket tana'im. So now we're going to say, could it be that they're arguing over something that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael argued about? Okay, what is that? Let's say I turned the same case, okay? I took my house, my property. I had dug a pit, okay? Right here is a pit. I dug a pit in my property. And then I decided to turn that part of my property, which had a pit in it, into Rishud HaRabim. So now what did we say about a boor? Boor is dafka an issue in Rishud HaRabim and not in Rishud Yachid. It's the opposite, right? Shane, we expect it, right? We're going to say you're patur, and regular you're patur in Rishud HaRabim. Boor, if I have a boor on my own property and you fall into it, well, that's your tough luck. What are we doing in my property? But if my property is Rishud HaRabim and you fall into my pit, well, then I'm responsible, right? Even as if I turn my property. If I dig a pit in the middle of Rishud HaRabim, so I've right? I basically cause people damage, even though it's not in my property. So what if it was in my property and I turned it not into my property, and that's a machloket tana'im? So now they're going to say, are we going to say that that's the same machloket? How would it work? Rav de Amar Patur, Rav who says you're Patur, why does he say you're Patur? Because he says this is now called 100% Rashid Arabim, and Shame Rashid Arabim is Patur. So what will he say by Bor? Dafka the opposite. Kasavar Bor Birishut Tel Chayav. If you have a Bor in your Rashut and you turn your Rashut into a public thoroughfare, you're going to be Chayav because he views it as Rashid Arabim. And Shmuel Damar Chayav Kasavar Bor Birishuto Patur, and he's going to say the exact opposite. Even though you opened your thoroughfare, what's he going to say? What's his claim? You think I opened my public my street to let people walk through so I could be mitchayev and nezek now for this boor? Of course I didn't do that. Don't make me chayev. Okay. So now we want to reject this. And we want to say that they wouldn't say the same thing in each case, and we're going to view it both ways. Amar lecha Rav. Rav would say, Lo'olam em lecha ba'alma boor b'rishuto patur. I think boor b'rishuto is patur, meaning we still view it as reshut ha'yachid. But here we're going to say it's reshut ha'rabim. Why? V'shanehacha da'amar lav kol kaminech demekarevet lehu leperotecha l'reshut arvim u'mechayevet lehu letorai. You think I'm allowing you to go through my fields so you can eat my fruits? That's of course not. Therefore, we're going to make him chayav. Okay? And that's why you're... Lav kol kaminech demekarevet lehu leperotecha l'reshut arvim. Sorry, I think it works the opposite. Let me just get it straight. Right, it means the owner of the shore is going to say, right?
No. God absolves the cow's owner because the owner of the shore is penalized because he hadn't been careful about his belongings.
Right. Right, the owner of the shore can say. He can say to the person of the payroad, why'd you put your payroad so in the part that was Rishon HaRabim? You should have kept it in your own property. You knew that you were making this public. If you were making it public, you shouldn't have left your fruits there. Okay, so that's what he's going to say. Ushmuel amar be'alma bor b'rishuto chayav. Shmuel's going to say that in general, bor b'rishuto is chayav because, right, he's going to turn it into, it's considered, bor b'rishuto is chayav. Here, one second, let's read. De bishlama bor ikalameimar lavadate. Elapero mi ikalamemra lavadate ha chazelehu. What's he going to say? That when it comes to the fruits, we're going to make the owner of the shore responsible because the shore or the whatever animal's eating it can see the fruits, and therefore he's responsible. But when you dig a bore, it's not so easy to see because it's underground basically. And therefore, when it comes to boor, we're not going to say that we expected the animal to have noticed. And if you turned this into a shit room and said everyone can walk through, well, you should have covered up your boor. And you should have been responsible. So you can make the argument either way. Okay. Now they're going to say, Lema mechazeret tanaihi. Maybe this machloket about mechazeret is a machloket tanaim. Ditanya, here we have a braita that says, Achla mitoch harechava meshalemet mashenehenit. Okay, that's like our Mishnah, right? If it's mitocha rechava, you eat what ne'eneh. Mitzideh rechava, mashizika. Zo divrei Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Elazar omrim, or maybe it's Rabbi Eliezer omrim, ein darka le'echol ela lahalech. An animal generally doesn't eat, just walks. So now, they're going to say, Rabbi Yosi, they're trying to understand what does Rabbi Yosi mean. So first they think that he's not talking about betocha rechava, because everybody knows that betocha rechava, the animal does eat. So what he must be saying is, ein darka le'echol b'tzideh rechava, except, right, to walk straight and keep going. Maybe eat along the way, but not eat the stuff on the sides. So then they're going to say, well, if that's the case, Rabbi Yosi hainu Tanakama, then he agrees with Tanakama if you read it that way. You follow another. How are we going to read this Rabbi Yosi, ein darka le'echol ela lahalech? The assumption is it means he walks straight, he doesn't stop and move over to the side and eat, in which case it's exactly what Tanakama said. So now what are they going to say? No ika b'inayu. I'm sorry. Ela mechazeret ika b'inayu. Tanakama savar mechazeret nami meshalem mashenenet. Rabbi Yosi savar meshalemet mashi zika. So therefore they're going to assume that maybe that's the machloka between them. The mechazeret... Right, the question is, mechazeret you also pay mashanehenet. That's what Tanakhama says. Even mechazeret, you pay mashanehenet. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, mashalemet mashi yizika. But then they say, no. Lo. Tekulei alma mechazeret, ike Rav, ike Shmuel. They're not talking about mechazeret at all. Either one could hold, either like Rav or like Shmuel when it comes to mechazeret. V'hacha, what's their issue here? Now we get to a real interesting chidush about Rabbi Yossi Shita. B'bi'er b'steacher kamiflegei. Mar savar u'bi'er b'steacher v'lo b'rishut harabim. What does it mean, b'er b'steacher? What did we say before? It means you go into the chatzar and nizak, but not rishut harabim, right? So any place that's not rishut harabim is going to be patur. I'm sorry, any place that's rishut harabim is going to be patur. U'mar savar u'bi'er b'steacher v'lo b'rishut hamazik. That's b'er b'steacher means anywhere that's not the mazik's property, meaning that you're chayav in chain, right? All along we've been saying you're putter in chain b'rishut harabim. Now we're going to say you're chayav in chain b'rishut harabim. The only place you're going to be chayav is in the chatzar mazik. So now they say, b'rishut hamazik, lema parich, b'rishuti ma'bai. How could you possibly say that? The guy will say, what were you doing in my property? In other words, how could you say that you're chayav in chain, right? That you're chayav in chain, right? According to this one second. You're ubi erbeste acher yuchayav, but not in the reshut amazik. One second, man, I'm getting confused by this. According to this, one second, you be chayav. Right, sorry. Reshut amazik means if somebody put their stuff into, in a, the only place you can put your perot anywhere and no one will ever touch them, right? If anyone touches them, it's fine. But ubi'er, one second. No, you'd be chayav. The only place you're not chayav is if you put your fruit in the balabayit's property. In the right, if somebody puts their fruit in my property and my animal eats it, then I'm going to be patur. But any other place, I'm going to be chayav, even in Rishut Harabim. So then we're saying, right, that's what it is. So it's just an obvious thing. What would you need the pasuk ubi'er b'steacher to tell you that I don't have to pay if you stuck your food in my property? Who needs to say that? That's totally obvious. So, right, Ella, so therefore they say that can't possibly it be it. So what's the difference between Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi? De'ulf av Rabbi Yoshaya ikabenayu. Now we go back to the very beginning of our sugya, which is, Ilf and Rabbi Yoshaya talked about what if the animal's kofetzet, or does something a little atypical. Are you chayav or not? And that's the machlokah between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. Okay, or Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, and that's what their machlokah must be about. It can't possibly be about this. So they suggest some very weird shita about that all of a sudden you might be chayav in Yezek b'rishut harabim, but then they say no for Shane, and then they say you're not. Okay, new Mishnah. Here's a funny one. Hakelev v'hagdi shekavtsu me'rosh hagag. Okay, you have a dog or a goat that jump off the roof. V'shavru et hakelim. Shemesalem nezek shalem b'pnei shei muadim. We assume that goats and dogs jump off the top of roofs. Okay, I know in my house it happens with cats. You ever have that, right? Where they jump all of a sudden, I hear like this bang, you know, and the cat just jumped off the roof. And this amazingly doesn't get hurt. So if you leave your kelev or yugdi at the top of the roof and he jumps down and he breaks the kelim underneath, you're chayav nezek shalem. But a kelev shenatal charara, this we saw already, he takes a cake, this cake that they made, the halach legadish, okay, but it was attached to a, there were coals attached to it, and he goes to a gadish, he goes to someone's field, achala charara bi'idlika gadish. Right, so he eats the thing, but he drops the coal onto the field. Ala charara mishalem nezek shalem. Right, he basically ate this other person's food. He's chayav nezek shalem. But ala gadish mishalem chatzin nezek, because again, it's atypical. So what do they say here now in the Gemara? What did the Mishnah say? They jumped mirosh hagag. So tama dekaftsu hanaflu patur. What do we assume though? Only if they jump, but if they fell off the roof, then you're not chayav. Alma kasavar, now if you say that this is the case, what are you going to assume here? And this is a very famous thing that we're going to see many, many times in the Bavas. Tchilato b'pshia v'safo ba'ones patur. It must be that the Tana of our Mishnah held, now we're going to see this big machloket about this, that if you do something at first, you put the kelev on the Rosh Hagag, that's called pshia, because he could very likely jump off the roof and break the kelim. Now in the end, what happened? in the end, it was onus. In the end, he didn't jump. He fell off. That's onus. He didn't intend to do that. And what you intended, your pshia from the beginning, where you set up a situation where pshia could have occurred, didn't actually occur. What happened was an onus, and you're pacha from onus in general. So the question is, are you pacha from onus in a case where you were negligent in the beginning? Okay, and you left your caleb in a place where you could have done that. So we're assuming that since naflu would be patur, therefore the tan of our mishnah must hold for the top shiav safa onus patur. Tani na mihachi, here's a bright to support this. Hakelev agdi shekavtzu meirosh agag v'shavur takelim shalem nezek shalem naflu p'turin. And here you have a brayta that says explicitly that, right? Ours, we just derived it. Now they say explicitly. So now the Gemara is going to say, well, hani chalaman damar t'chila tov p'shia p'sifo bonus patur. El laman damar chayav ma'i chalamemar. How are you going to explain it if you say you're chayav? So what do they answer? You'd have to explain that the Mishnah was in a case kegon de mekarve kelim l'gabe akotel. Okay, if the kelim were right up against the wall, then what are you going to say in that case? Well, if he jumped, what happens when you jump? You jump on an angle, right? You jump out. There's a projectile. You don't jump straight down, right? He'd smash into the wall that way, right? You think of, also, you want to take kids for an example, right? When you teach kids to dive into a pool or to jump into a pool, you don't jump right next to the wall, right? So the animals know that instinctively. So if the kelim were down at the bottom and they were up against the wall, so now if the dog falls, well, he's going to break them because he's going to fall straight down. If he jumps out and he won't touch them, in which case, this is a case where it wasn't tchilat tov b'pshia because the kelim weren't anywhere near where the dog was. So you put your dog on the roof knowing that if he jumps, he's not going to break the kelim. And that's why, so now we can say that maybe you could say our mission is in a case of it's not tchilat tov b'pshia b'sofo va'ones, it's all onus. Okay, we'll stop here for today.